Hey, thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 as we kickstart the final hour of Mobile Mornings for this week. It is a Friday. Hallelujah.
Yay.
We made it to Friday. Dalton Orwig and Leanna in with you this morning as Sean Sullivan takes some much-needed time off. And you heard that fishing photo promo for our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Yesterday we announced our, what, fourth winner since we began doing
right.
this?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Josh Patrick, who had... I guess a woman in the picture and a child, mm-hmm. I'm guessing his wife or girlfriend, and had a absolutely massive red
yes.
snapper, which I'm thinking they probably took that picture a couple weeks ago since the snapper season ended a couple weeks ago. But if not, you know, we won't tell. We didn't backdate or time when the picture was taken. And really, that's how we do this contest. You can mm-hmm. put in a picture, whether you caught the fish 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or just the day before you posted it, and you could put kids' pictures in there for their first catch ever.
Those are fun.
They really are. And remember the first week we ran this contest,
yes.
there was a little girl who had a fish, a little bitty fish in front
mm-hmm.
of her. Was she even touching the fish?
No, her hands were up. She didn't want have anything to do with it.
She was absolutely losing her mind.
Yes.
And that's
full
why...
full tantrum.
That is exactly why we're doing this contest, sponsored by Sportsman's Marine and Fairhope. It's the beginning of a new week, so if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, and look at the post at the top of the page with Sportsman's Marine on there, and put your picture up in the comments, and then
right.
get friends and families to like that, and you could soon be the owner of an ultra-rare FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team t-shirt. We're going to continue to do that until we run out of shirts.
I guess so.
And hopefully we have a lot of pictures that are posted after this weekend, because the
mm-hmm.
Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo 87th Annual ADSFR, they got started this morning at 5 a.m. with the annual cannon blast. And of course, well, it's been a wild 2020 for all of us, but
oh, yes.
but for the JCs that run that event every single year, it's been tough. You know, they weren't able to do the Liars Contest this year, weren't able to have the big parties down there on mm-hmm. Dauphin Island that we're also used to, but the fishing goes on. And Leanna, we've talked about in the past how much good comes out of this annual event.
Oh, yes.
The JCs volunteer their time. The money goes towards local charity. You know, they spend
mm-hmm.
that money, whether it's Christmas when they buy gifts for kids around town. So it's a tough year, but you can help out. I would imagine you can still buy a ticket to go fishing. And remember, they have that lottery. If you bring a catch in and get it weighed, then you're entered into the lottery to win that nice boat that they're giving away. And pretty good odds compared to like the Mega Millions or the Super Bowl lottery.
Oh, yes.
So you could do that. But also this year, and I don't think they've done this in the past, ADSFR.com, if you click on the menu there at ADSFR.com, you go down and click on shop. They have Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo merch for sale online
mm-hmm.
this year. You can get 87th annual shirts, hats. They've got all kind of goodies up there. So check them out, ADSFR.
And as usual, the art is beautiful. It's great looking
yeah.
shirt, poster,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yeah. And we shared on our Facebook page, well, I guess a couple months ago now at this
mm-hmm.
point, they were how they made that poster. And the,
right.
The illustrator that made the poster for this year, that's really cool if you want to check that out on our social media. But I think it'd be pretty cool if you want to pick up a shirt or hat, just go to ADSFR.com. And good luck to everyone that's out there fishing offshore this weekend. The big news here in Mobile and Baldwin counties came off the heels of a couple press conferences yesterday. Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler held a press conference, and Mobile County Schools Superintendent Kressel Threadgill also held one to kind of give an update on what the plan is for schooling this fall, and went two different directions with their plans. Baldwin County schools are going to open as scheduled on August 12th. They're going to have the kids in class with masks on and socially distanced as much as possible, you know, separating them in the class, which I'm sure some teachers will appreciate that. I know
oh, yes.
when I was in elementary school, I was always the one moved to the, not just elementary, even through my senior year in high school, moved to the front of the class because I was, you know, joking around with friends. So it'll be a little tougher to pass notes and joke around being socially distanced in the Baldwin County schools. And also, they're going to, for lunch, stagger the lunch times, it looks like, and allow some of the older students to eat outside, try to keep as many people away from each other as possible. Also, temperature checks. If your child registers over a 100.4 degree temperature, then they get a visit to the nurse. Nurse checks for more coronavirus symptoms and tries to separate them from the class. But a different story for Mobile County Public Schools. And yesterday, Kressel Threadgill, the superintendent of the MCPSS, laid out the plan for this fall in Mobile County.
The number of COVID-19 cases are continuing to rise each and every day, and that is very alarming. As a leader, I have to make tough decisions, but I do not make decisions that's best for me. As a leader, I make decisions that are best for those who follow me. As superintendent, it is my obligation to protect the safety and well-being of each of our 53,000 students and 8,000 employees. With that being said, I cannot, with strong reservation, put their health and even their lives in jeopardy. Therefore, this afternoon, I am announcing that Mobile County Public Schools will not reopen for students on August the 10th, 2020. We will officially begin our school year on September the 1st, remotely for all students. Students will not return to the classroom for at least the first 9 weeks of school while we continue to assess the number of cases in our area. After the first 9 weeks, based on our numbers, we hope to reopen our schools and continue with our plans to have three options for our students, which are face-to-face, remote, and virtual learning.
So there you go, face-to-face, virtual, or remote distance learning for Mobile County Public Schools. And if you're bad with the math like I am, if schools start on September 1st, I had to pull out my phone calendar and count exactly 9 weeks. That would mean, I guess, best-case scenario that students for the MCPSS, all 53,000 of them, best-case scenario, they'll be back in class by the beginning of November. And you just heard the superintendent say that depends on the trends with the coronavirus, with numbers of new cases and hospitalizations. But it's a really divisive topic, and it's become political, like so many other things have in Washington and around the rest of the country. It seems, if you read the national media, that Republicans are all about sending the kids back to school, and for the most part, Democrats are all about keeping these kids out of schools, trying to keep them from catching COVID-19. And you've got, on one hand, polls, national polls and local polls, and then you also have had some studies coming out here recently. On the national polls, I know Axios released one earlier this week, and I think they polled around 1,000 people, so not exactly a massive national poll like we've seen in the past, but in that polling, they found that 71% of the Americans they polled said that they feel it's a risk to send their children back to school in the fall. 82% of Democrats said it was a risk, and 53% of Republicans, 72% of males said it was a risk, and 70% of females, which you look at those numbers, you would think that the mamas out there would be more worried for the kids than the daddies. And even though the numbers are pretty similar, I think it might be that the mamas are the ones that have been stuck at home with the kids over the last few months.
Very true.
Ready to send them back. So that's a national poll. But then you look here more at the local level, and we had our own poll on FMTalk1065.com and on our Facebook page, and we simply asked, do you feel safe sending your children back to school this fall? 88% of our poll respondents say yes, they feel safe sending the children back to school. If you're in Baldwin County, that's exactly what's going to happen beginning next month. If you're in Mobile County, you got to figure out what you're going to do with the kids until November, because they're going to be learning virtually. And I know when they shut down schooling in March, they were even sending out some paper packets to parents, sending them to the kids so that they could work. If they didn't have a strong internet connection or a computer to use, they just use these paper packets. Well, that won't be the case this fall. It's going to be virtual only. And with that, Leanna, you were saying that I guess they went out and got some Google Chromebooks for the kids and maybe helping out with some
Wi-Fi,
internet issues.
Mm-hmm, some Wi-Fi devices. And they're using part of the money from the CARES Act, too.
to supplement that. Mm-hmm. So they, and hopefully that'll work, but there's been lots of studies out there, and I know one from the New York Times published earlier this week from the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, and they didn't talk much about the middle schoolers and the high schoolers. But they said that whenever possible, younger children, we're talking elementary kids and also those with special needs, that they should attend school in person. That virtual learning just doesn't work as well for those that are in elementary school. They also, you know, laid out a framework for school systems that do plan to get back and emphasized a lot of the common sense things we've seen, hand washing, physical distancing, and trying to minimize contact during recess and lunch, which it looks like that's the route that Baldwin County schools are going. But, you know, the CDC, they also said surgical masks need to be worn, face coverings. They're doing that in Baldwin County and mm-hmm. regular symptom checks. But online learning is an issue for a lot of people, and it's ineffective for most elementary school and special needs children's. And that's from this panel of scientists and educators that are saying that. That needs to be taken into account. And then when you look at the actual statistics, and Leanna, you had some numbers from Florida where I think they said right around a third of
the children that are tested, mm-hmm. The test is coming back positive.
Right.
And where adults is at 11%.
So that's really, and you know, Florida has had some testing issues here recently mm-hmm. with the number of tests coming back and inaccurately being counted from these different testing sites that were sending in 100% positives when the number was closer to 6 to 20%. So Florida has their own testing issues to work out. That is an outlier, no doubt, that 33%, they said 33% of the school-aged children are coming back positive. There was actually a huge study from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. They used data from China, Italy, Japan, Singapore, Canada, and South Korea, and America. And 149,760 people were analyzed in this study that had COVID-19. They found that children 17 and under made up fewer than 2% of the confirmed infections across the United States. And there's so much unknown about coronavirus, but that's been something that we've heard pretty consistently here over the last few months, that children are about half as likely to catch the virus than adults are. So you've got a bunch of things competing here. National polling, you've got these institutes of science and medicine that are putting out their own reports, and then you have just the hardcore statistics that are coming out, and many of the hardcore statistics say that children are less likely to catch the virus. You have the scientists saying they need to be in school learning. But Mobile County saying, nope, we're going virtual only beginning September 1st for 9 weeks. I want to get your thoughts on that. Send us a text, 251-343-0106. You can also call us at that same number, and we'll put you on the line. And also coming up, perfect timing, I guess, the back-to-school tax-free weekend begins today, I think, or maybe tomorrow. We'll nail that down for you and let you know exactly what is tax-free. And hint, hint, you don't have to be going to class for some of the stuff to count as being tax-free. We'll let you know about that and more coming up. 251-343-0106. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Hey, we appreciate it, Kane. 825 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. And while we're talking schools this morning, and thank you, Dan, I mentioned as we were talking about the Florida study that mm-hmm. said that a third of the school-aged children coronavirus positive. But Florida's had their own issues this last week. Remember, on Sunday, they reported a new high in number of new cases in Florida, I think over 15,000. And they've probably, I think, breached that number a couple more times this week. But big story there were the number of testing sites that were reporting 100% positive rates. And he sent me a list here. It looks like at least 33 different testing sites. Now, they range from anywhere from, they said, 444 positive all the way down to 25 positive. But you add them all up, and that was about 3,500 positive cases that could have been incorrect from Florida. So we're going to be looking at that here over the next couple weeks. But while we're talking about schooling, I think it's pretty important to let everyone know about the tax-free. Now, it's just tax-free from the state, and it began this morning at midnight, 12:01 a.m. this morning, and it'll end on Sunday at midnight. And you don't pay the 4% in state taxes on certain items. Now, there's a lot that's exempt. There's a lot that's taxable. Do you have that list there in front of you at all, Leanna?
Yes, I do.
What do we have going on here?
Well, with clothes, it's like belts, boots, caps, even diapers, dresses, gloves, mm-hmm. things like that. But what is taxable is belt buckles.
Wait. So you could buy a belt.
Right.
And that's tax-free.
Right.
But if you just want to get you a nice cowboy belt buckle, they're going to tax you on that?
Right.
Well, that's why everyone needs to join the rodeo. Go out and win you a buckle instead of having to pay full tax for one. All right, what else do we have there?
Okay. Like I said, shoes. Also not covered in the clothing is breathing masks, face shields, protective gloves. I'm kind of surprised that those are not covered under this tax-free.
That is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong here. I feel like in this day and age, in the year of 2020, that when you're going to make things exempt, the breathing masks, all this protective equipment, that should probably be tax-free. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe
it's going to be a requirement.
Yeah. Maybe there's some kind of time. Maybe there's a time frame where you have to put in to the bill that you want certain things to be tax exempt, but I know that a lot of teachers use these tax-free weekends to mm-hmm. stock up their classrooms. So
right.
we're talking about not just the students that are getting their gear ready for this fall, but the teachers, and
right.
they're gonna have to pay full tax on breathing masks, the stuff to clean the rooms, face shields. Wow, that's very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Also covered in this is computer software, and school computer supplies up to the sale of $750.
Okay,
it has to be $750 or less
and that's,
per item.
That's big news because with Mobile County Public Schools, and we'll mm-hmm. have to see about the surrounding counties, I can't imagine some of these more rural counties. I mean, we have a tough enough time in some of the more rural parts of Mobile County getting internet out to these students and making sure that they have the devices that they need to do this virtual learning, which they're going to have to do from September through November, or until November. So computers, those will be tax exempt up to $750. And it
Correct.
Sounds to me like that covers most of the Chromebooks and some of the lower to middle end computers that you can buy. But if you mm-hmm. go out to buy a brand new computer that's got some pretty cool stuff on it, that's probably not going to be tax exempt if it's over $750.
Right.
Okay.
And some software is included, but not like video games that are non-educational.
Oh, come on.
I know.
The kids play the video. Okay, I agree with that one.
But
they should tax
what is
the video
covered
games.
Is computer printers, the printer supplies, like paper and ink. The storage media, the compact discs, handheld electronic schedulers, but it can't be a cell phone.
Dang.
Also,
who schedules things on anything but a cell phone anymore?
Right? I didn't know they still had that kind of equipment. Also covered is school supplies, art supplies, instructional material.
Mm-hmm.
With a price of $50 or less. So I'm talking about like binders, calculators, some calculators. Mm-hmm. I think some of them are over $50. Crayons, erasers, folders, that kind of things. Also art supplies, clay, paints, and things like that.
Okay, well, that's a good update on that. And, I mentioned you don't have to be a kid going back to school to take part in this tax-exempt
right.
weekend. And you look at the list of things that are exempt. Underwear. So
mm-hmm.
any of y'all out there that are looking to maybe stock up, this would be the weekend to go out and
yep.
get you some Fruit of the Looms. And robes are tax exempt. All the kids that are getting new robes for the school year, you're in luck. You can get a new robe and not pay the 4% tax. Wow. What a fun time we're going to have out there shopping this weekend. And there are some counties and cities that aren't taking part in this, but I looked at the list and it looks like pretty much all of our counties around here, Baldwin, mm-hmm. Mobile, Washington, Clark, Escambia, they're all participating. So starts today through Sunday. Go out and get you some tax-exempt gear. And we're coming back. More Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at FM Talk 106.5, and we've been talking about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo all morning long as they got started with that cannon blast this morning. And lots of people taking boats down to the water, but they need something to tow those boats with. What kind of trucks do we have on the lot out there?
We got 3/4 tons. If you got a big boat, we got 1/2 tons. If you got a little boat, we got them all. Come by and see us. We got, on the 1/2 tons, got $6,000 in rebates. I mean, you know, we're talking about the SUV deal, which is a great deal from General Motors. You got the employee pricing, plus a little cash on the side of that. But we're getting trucks in, and we get about a truckload of vehicles every day now. Thank God everything's hopefully in this industry's sort of getting back to normal. But we got the inventory, so come by and check us out. You can check it out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Check out our used car department, too, online. If you got any questions, call Gene Wright, 251-476-4141. Hope all the people out there on the rodeo have a safe weekend and have a great weekend. Looks like the weather's going to be great, so y'all all have fun.
All right, well said. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com. 8:38 as we continue with Mobile Mornings, and you know, we've had a lot of school talk this morning, and with good reason, with the Mobile County Public School System saying they're not back in until September 1st, and virtual learning for 9 weeks following. So kids won't be back into class until the first week of November in the classroom itself. Baldwin County, they're going back as scheduled on August 12th, and there's been a lot of national debate about this, of course, even in Washington. Well, I say even in Washington, that's where the debate seems to normally start.
Yes.
And you have Pelosi and Trump going back and forth like we've seen time after time. And it remains a point of contention in Washington. I want to run this report from Jerry Bodlander as he kind of gives us an update on what we're seeing up there in the nation's capital.
As the school year nears, the president is urging schools to reopen.
When he says open, he means open and full, kids being able to attend each and every day at their school.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany referenced a pediatric journal from the American Medical Association in arguing the administration believes the risk to children from coronavirus is very low.
We encourage for localities and states to just simply follow the science, open our schools. It's very damaging to our children. There's a lack of reporting of abuse. There's mental depressions that are not addressed, suicidal ideations that are not addressed when students are not in school.
Meanwhile, some health experts believe children could worsen the spread of the virus. And despite the president threatening to withhold federal money from schools that don't open, an increasing number are moving ahead with plans for virtual learning in the fall. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the president is ignoring science in his handling of the pandemic.
He is like the man who refuses to ask for directions. All of the answers are there. The scientists have the answers.
And pointing to long delays in COVID-19 testing, as well as a shortage of masks and other protective equipment, Pelosi is lamenting the president's refusal to fully invoke the Defense Production Act to meet ongoing needs.
This is such a massive dereliction of duty. People are dying.
There was also criticism of the president from Republican Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland, who said on CNN that early on, the president didn't seem to take the threat from coronavirus seriously.
It's not so much about the entire administration failing. It's about the president who bounces from one message to the other and sometimes says the exact opposite of what the experts in his administration say. And I think that at a time of a crisis like this, one of the most important things you can possibly do is communicate honestly and directly with the people to tell them the facts.
McEnany called the criticism revisionist history, noting Hogan had praise for the administration early in the crisis. Jerry Bodlander, Washington.
So there you go, more bickering back and forth. And, of course, none of this is cut and dry. Nothing about coronavirus is cut and dry.
Oh, no.
Because we still, I mean, months into this, we know more than we've ever known about coronavirus, but still so much unknown. What I do know is that paychecks will be affected by schools that decide not to send the kids back to school. And we have a text here from Don. He said, good morning. I have one thing to say. Actually, three. All right, Don, you could even more than three. If you have more than three things to say, go ahead and text it. But he said, I have a family member who drives a school bus for Mobile County. Who is going to pay her? Secondly, what about the teachers and the school staff? Who's going to pay for their checks? And third and most important, what about our children and their future, not to mention our economy? What the heck? He said, I'm moving to Baldwin County. So I wonder if Don is alone in that. Is this the fact that Baldwin County is planning to send students back to school next month and Mobile County taking a little bit more safe, I guess if you want to call it a safe approach and keeping kids at home and virtual learning? Is that going to be enough to send people across the bay to move to Baldwin County? And I wish I had an answer for you, Don, on the paychecks. We'll have to look into that to see about the payment for the school bus drivers, the parking lot attendance there, mm-hmm. as people come drop their kids off at school and pick them back up, and also the teachers. And Tim said Don doesn't know what he's talking about. The teachers sign a contract, so yeah, I would imagine the teachers would be paid. I'm not sure about the rest of the staff. That is something that I have no idea about, but those are important questions that need to be asked. And if you want to give us a text, 251-343-0106, and let us know what you think about this new plan for the schooling systems in Mobile County and Baldwin County. Also, some big international news, and we talked about this a little bit in the last hour, but Russia and hacking back in the news as America. Again? Yeah, again, we're talking Russia hacking, and I would love to never talk about hacking ever again, but in this day and age, I mean, weren't people saying that cyber warfare is the future? I mean, they were right. Yes. They were dead on about that. Whether it's China or Russia or North Korea, hacking is our immediate future. And I guess Russia, according to some intelligence services in the United States and in Canada and in Britain, they've determined that a Russian espionage group that we already know pretty well, they said they're linked to Russian intelligence services, that they've been hacking into our medical systems to try to figure out what we're doing in America and the rest of these countries, Canada and Britain, as we try to find this coronavirus vaccine. And, you know, there's big money involved for whichever country, whichever company ends up getting the best vaccine, the vaccine that works the best and the vaccine that's most affordable. I say that, but whoever ends up making this vaccine is going to probably charge an arm and a leg for it and just make buku bucks off the vaccine.
Especially in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. When you have hundreds of millions of Americans that are going to be wanting and getting the vaccine and then start to sell it internationally, that will be life-changing for the world. But these Russians, I guess, it's called APT-29 is the name of the group, but we know them as Cozy Bear or the Dukes.
That doesn't sound threatening.
No, not at all. But those are the two pseudonyms that they go by, and I guess they've been going through and hacking into these systems. According to the NCSC, the National Cybersecurity Center in the UK, they said throughout this year, APT-29, a.k.a. Cozy Bear, has targeted various organizations involved in COVID-19 vaccine development in Canada, the United States, and the United Kingdom, highly likely with the intention of stealing information and intellectual property relating to the development and testing of COVID-19 vaccines. And to that I say, well, we have to expect that. I'm sure North Korea is trying the same thing. You know that China, and with their eyes on the TikTok app, which was made in China, mm-hmm. and every kid that's going to be virtual learning from school will probably be uploading TikTok videos instead of doing their classwork. China's already got the drop on Americans in more ways than one, so I'm sure they're trying to see what we're doing. But you know what? I imagine America's doing our own little bit of spying, too. Hopefully we wouldn't need to spy on, like, Canada or the UK. I would hope that we're working hand-in-hand with our allies.
Right.
What would be perfect would be if the entire world were working together and sharing information. But that's a pipe dream. That doesn't happen. We're not sharing information with China. They're not sharing information with us. And the same can be said about Russia. But I would say, you know, if they're spying on us, we need to be spying on Russia and China, too, and see what they're doing with this COVID-19 vaccine development. This, I'm sure, will be updated in the next few weeks. And I hate that I have to say this, but we've said it plenty of times over the last few years that even when you get a report from services, from intelligence services, whether it's, you know, anonymously sourced American intelligence officers or UK officers or Canadian officers, you can't always take those reports at 100% truth. Now, I tend to believe that Russia is spying on us and trying to figure out what we're doing as far as vaccine development, and probably in a lot more ways than that, they're trying to figure out what we're doing over here in America. But you can't always take these reports at face value. We've seen national media organizations run with anonymous reports time after time that have been proven to not be necessarily 100% true. Even, and this is a sore subject, even with the report that came out a couple weeks ago that Russians were paying Taliban troops to kill Americans, that they were putting bounties on Americans' heads. There may be some truth to that, but there were reports coming out that it wasn't 100% confirmed, that a lot of intelligence officers weren't 100% sure about that. So kind of keep that in mind, too, as we go through stories like this. But as far as this story in particular, I 100% believe that there are nefarious actors internationally that are trying to break into our systems and figure out what's going on as far as COVID-19 vaccine development. Hey, I've been talking about it this morning. Alex Trebek, the loved game show host for Jeopardy. You know, he had that cancer diagnosis a few months back. I think it's the second or third time that he's been diagnosed. He gives us an update on where he is right now in his development with cancer. And he's got a new book coming up. I'll tell you about that. And we'll talk ice cream coming up. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. All right, welcome back. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. As we wrap it up for this week. Hooray! Made it to Friday.
Yay!
I'm happy about it. And getting some texts in about schooling, and we had the question there about will the bus drivers and teachers still get paid as Mobile County Public Schools go virtual only for the first 9 weeks of the school year, and actually pushing back the beginning to September 1st. And we got a text earlier. Tim said the teachers sign a contract, so they're getting paid, and then we also got a text from an unnamed texter here who I think is a bus driver in Mobile County. Said bus drivers are on contract too. I have not missed a paycheck yet. So that's good news for those that that are working in the school system. But I think tough news for the students that are going to be forced to learn virtually. We got a text from Sam. He said, kids must go back to school on time. Nearly everything about COVID-19 is political anyway. The impact of kids not going back to school will be devastating for years. We should use good hygiene, but we have to get back to normal in every way. Also, there's been viruses in the past, and there will be viruses in the future. We can't stop living. We have to just be sensible. If the people making the decisions stopped receiving their salaries based on school or no school, schools and all businesses would be open tomorrow. All right. Thank you for the text there, Sam. And Keith, with some firsthand experience when they shut down schools back in March and went virtual only for a while, he said, when schools shut down, I ended up working nights, sleeping maybe 3 to 4 hours, staying up all day with my daughter while my wife went to work and then right back to work. I wouldn't look forward to that again. And Keith, I think a lot of people echo your sentiments on that. That's tough. And props to you for doing that and putting your family first. For me personally, I mean, we've got a 17-month-old, and her daycare reopened, oh man, probably a month and a half, 2 months ago. And because my wife and I both work, we took her back to daycare pretty much day one. Now, for us, it's been a little different because she's only had, at a max, 2 or 3 other students in daycare in her class at the same time, so they've been able to have fewer kids in class. But for our daycare in particular, we, as far as I know, there haven't been any new positives or anything like that, and that's good news. But that's a personal story there. And will that happen if they open schools to the tens of thousands of kids that are getting back to it in Mobile County? I know, Leanna, we also, you got an email there with somebody that had a comment on this.
Right. Jason writes and asks, regarding Mobile County schools, how will virtual learning be done for a kindergartner?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because in kindergarten, I mean, let's be honest, and I don't know, I don't want to, you know, common sense campaign, the, what's the, what they call the schooling that everyone has to do now where they do the math in a super weird, different
common
way?
Common Core.
Common Core, thank you, which Common Sense is against, the Common Sense campaign, but Common Core. I don't think they're necessarily getting into that in kindergarten, maybe they are. To me, I think in kindergarten, the most important thing is being around other kids your age and getting some social interaction. First off, to learn how to get along with other little humans, as difficult as that is for the 5- and 6-year-olds. But also, I mean, in a day and age where we're talking about building up immunity, remember, coronavirus, COVID-19 isn't the only dangerous thing out there. I think that kids need to be getting dirty and getting around each other's germs and trying to build up some of those immunities to colds and things of that nature. The kindergartners that are at home virtually learning, I mean, I don't even know how that works. Do the teachers, you know, tell them to finger paint on the it's so weird. And they got to take the nap. I don't know. There are a lot of questions to be asked, but kindergartners, first graders, I mean, when we're talking about the really little kids that can't just do their homework, that's an entirely different story.
And there's another good question. How will other students with disabilities be provided services required by the school system remotely?
Man, it's going to be so tough. Special needs children, and there's been some reports that come out from notable groups of scientists and doctors that say you can't just have, I mean, it doesn't work. Virtual learning doesn't work for so many of these young elementary school kids and special needs children. Something that needs to be talked about and talked about often here as we go into a new school year, but Mobile County Public School going virtual for the first 9 weeks of the year. All right, I did want to get to this story, Leanna, because it's somebody that I think many of us have watched on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is it about 6 o'clock that Jeopardy comes on? Every single day, 6 or 5 o'clock, I don't know. You know, they have that row of game shows that come on. And, of course, Alex Trebek had a cancer diagnosis not that long ago, a few months now. But he gave an update yesterday on YouTube and some great news for Alex Trebek. First off, he has a new goatee. And he turned the mustache into a goatee.
Nice. I mean,
a lot of people were wondering if he would shave the mustache, but he instead turned it into a brand new piece of artwork on his face. So that you got that. But he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer a few months ago, and yesterday he said, "I'm doing well. I've been continuing my treatment, and it's paying off, though it does fatigue me a great deal. My numbers are good. I'm feeling great. In fact, during the break from the studio, I even wrote a book that will be coming out July 21st. So Alex Trebek has a new book coming out, I think, this July 21st. I don't think he's going to wait until 2021 to release it. The name of the book, the answer is Reflections on My Life." Of course, he's giving a nod there to the answer is for Jeopardy. It's scheduled to come out a day before his 80th birthday. But Alex Trebek, back in March, said he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And I think it's outstanding news that he says he's doing better. Of course, the best news would be if Alex Trebek came out and said that he is now over his cancer diagnosis, that he's cancer-free. And we can only hope for that. All right, that does it. Another Friday edition of Mobile Mornings. We'll be back at it Monday morning beginning at 6 a.m. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Coming up next, the Mike Gallagher Show right here on FM Talk 106.5. Have a great weekend, Leanna.
Have a great weekend.